Morning.
Morning, CJ.
How are you?
Great. I love the juxtaposition of Michael Jackson and great contrast.
Indeed.
Yeah. That's actually what I want to talk about this morning is contrast. I want to be a voice for pessimism this morning.
Ooh, Marsha, you know, that's not like you.
Well, exactly. I have a proclivity to be optimistic, which gets me in trouble sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had that where you just think it's going to work out, and so you do something, even though all the evidence is there that not likely going to work out? I've done that. I've entered a business relationship a couple of years ago where, everything I needed to know was already up front available to me to see, but I didn't want to look at it. I wanted to believe it would work, and I made a lot of trouble for myself.
Mm.
So this past week, interestingly, I stumbled on two different articles about there's a place for pessimism. And, CJ, I am very biased towards positive thinking. I'm very biased towards, a quote from sports psychology, actions follow our thoughts and images. So don't look where you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's out of Gary Mack's Mind Gym book. And, I believe that. And we've talked about that. Lots of evidence that works. What you pay attention to and how you think about things has a huge impact on what you create in your life. And sometimes we think of optimism as sort of magical thinking, that somehow it's all going to just be fine. And denying what is really there has ended civilizations, ended businesses, and caused personal problems for folks. So there's a place, and a really important place, for optimism and pessimism, both. There's a time for looking at what's really going on, so the optimism is tempered a bit. So one article I read was in a magazine called Ode, O-D-E magazine, which is a magazine for intelligent optimists. That's what it says. And they had an article called No Silver Linings, Please, which was about how defensive pessimism can help us, meaning, you don't enter something without really thinking about what could go wrong or what's really happening here. So, for example, they took a study of obese women in a weight reduction program. Now, in favor of optimism, those who thought the program would work lost 26 more pounds than those who didn't think the program would work. However, with another lens, those who thought it would be easy, who had unrealistic images of what it takes to stick to a diet and exercise, lost 24 pounds less than those who knew it would be hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Maybe it's pessimism sort of grates on me a little bit. So maybe it's realism.
Yeah. That's a nice, one of the articles talked about a tempered optimist.
There you go. I like
that. Because pessimism, and yet there's a place. There's a creativity expert, Edward De Bono, who wrote a lot about creativity. He says there's a place for black hat thinking, which is like, what could go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
There are some studies in long organizations that lived longer than 100 years, and one of the variables was they did scenario planning, thinking about what could go wrong. So that's realism. I think it's a really nice way to do it. Now, there was another article that I stumbled on last week called How Resilience Works. This is a study of resilience, which is really relevant in our turbulent times, and this was in Harvard Business Review by Diane Cotto, and she said, optimism only works if you don't distort your sense of reality. So exactly what you're saying, CJ, realism. Because you can get your heart broken when you don't really look at what is going on or don't allow yourself to feel what you're really feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I shouldn't be angry or I shouldn't be depressed. Well, if you are, you are. It's just about not getting swallowed at it with it. It's about being able to keep shifting your focus to what you want to create but not denying what is. There was a very powerful story in that article about resilience. Admiral Jim Stockdale was a prisoner of war in Viet Cong for 8 years. And when asked who didn't make it out of the prisoner of war camp, he said, quote, "Well, that's easy. It was the optimists. Those were the ones that were sure we'd be out by Christmas.
Yeah.
Then we'd be out by Easter. Then we'd be out by the 4th of July. Then we'd be out by Thanksgiving. And then we'd be out by Christmas again." And he said, you know, I think they all died of broken hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we break our hearts a lot of times when we don't really look at what is. So I love your realism and optimism combination.
Mm-hmm.
Gail Gibran has a quote, the optimist sees the rose, not its thorn, and the pessimist stares at the thorn, oblivious to the rose. So it's only with both the thorn and the flower do you fully know what a rose is. So can we temper our optimism with your suggestion, CJ, of realism?
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Marcia.
Thank you, CJ. See you next week.
Okay.